this project, the ITSIDS project, and just to answer your question, we have broadened our perspective in North Carolina to address infant sleep safety and not just sleep positioning. My focus is going to be on our initiative in regulated child care settings. And I want to acknowledge our partnership with the North Carolina Division of Child Development, which helped bring about and fund this project through the North Carolina Healthy Start Foundation. This is North Carolina. We are a wonderful state and a varied state. Just wanted to get you oriented to the region, from the mountains to the coast. And we have 100 counties, and it will take about 8 hours to drive from one end to the other. So it's a large state, and there's a lot of logistics when you're engaged in a statewide program. These are our SIDS numbers for 2005. We had 108 SIDS deaths in 55 North Carolina counties, just to give you a perspective of SIDS in North Carolina. In North Carolina, we exceed the national average in SIDS rates, 0.8 per 1,000 live births versus 0.5 per 1,000 live births in the United States based on 2004 data. It is a leading cause of infant deaths from 1 to 12 months of age, and we have about 100 babies who die annually of SIDS. As an aside, we are seeing an increase in those accidental suffocation strangulation infant deaths in bed sharing situations in North Carolina, but my focus is on child care right now. SIDS has been the leading cause of death in North Carolina child care. From 1997 to 2004, of the 61 child care deaths, 38 or slightly less than two-thirds were SIDS deaths. I just want to point out the red arrow at year 2003 was when we began our ITSIDS initiative. Just to give you some background information, there were three pivotal sentinel events that occurred that impacted SIDS risk reduction in North Carolina regulated child care settings. One was the ITSIDS training project, which we began in 2002, and it was expanded until 2004. So we had 4 years of that training program. It's a train-the-trainer program. But also the context in which SIDS was being spotlighted in the state during this time. The media played a significant role in highlighting deaths in daycare. In February of 2003, the Raleigh News and Observer had an investigative series addressing deaths in daycare, and they wrote a stinging editorial about the situation in North Carolina childcare that had to change to address these deaths in childcare, SIDS being significant among those. And then the cascade went further to address policy. The general statute was developed and went into place in December 2003, and then we had child care regulations that followed, requiring that babies be positioned on their backs to sleep and child care providers receive training. So just as to emphasize the point, the media was a catalyst for some policy change in our state in 2003. And these were just a sampling of some of the headlines. What I thought might be helpful to you was some tips for working with policymakers in helping to address infant sleep safety in regulated child care settings and in your own state, that you need to educate and engage the media as well as the policymakers. You want to provide evidence-based research. When the Division of Child Development, we approached them about addressing infant sleep safety, and they said, well, how do you know it works to put the babies on their backs to sleep? And luckily, we have the National Back to Sleep Campaign, so we could go to that data. And we went to the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations. We also had a statewide Back to Sleep Campaign, so we had local data. And we utilized the State Center for Health Statistics data specific to North Carolina. I will tell you, just as an inside tip, you want to make sure that your policymakers know that your leaders in your own state, say your child care regulators, embrace the back to sleep and SIDS risk reduction message. We were told at a legislative hearing that in the wording of the general statute, we said, as recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics, we want to put babies on their backs to sleep. And I'm going to paraphrase here, but one of the General Assembly members said, now who is the American Academy of Pediatrics to be coming in here to North Carolina to tell us what to do? My chin fell to the floor, but one of the lobbyists said not to worry. So we provided a SIDS 101 to the North Carolina Child Care Commission to help inform them and educate them about SIDS and about the recommendations and the standards. And the wording of the law then was, the general statute was changed to, as recommended by the North Carolina Child Care Commission. So that was more palatable. So never, you know, just keep in mind that you have to have your local emphasis. So we also made public education materials available. Some of the materials that we passed out were a subsequent to the program and part of our funding, but we did have other educational materials written in lay language that we made available to the policymakers. We attended the committee hearings and we were prepared to provide comment and information. We brought allies to the legislative committee hearings, and our pediatric affiliate, the North Carolina Pediatric Society, also a partner in this emphasis in this program, met behind the scenes with policymakers. We brought tobacco prevention specialists to the public hearing with the Child Care Commission to emphasize the importance of smoke-free environments and that impact on SIDS. And while we did not have any SIDS parents present, we have engaged SIDS parents in other educational opportunities. And it helped that one of our key advocates for tobacco prevention had been a child care provider, and she then worked with the American Lung Association. So she could speak to the Child Care Commission as a former child care provider. So that really lent credence to her testimony. What resulted from all of this policy change was House Bill 152 was introduced in February 2003, just 2 weeks after the media stories. General Statute 110-91-15 went into effect December 1st, 2003. So in less than a year, we had a law on the books that went into effect, and it was called the Prevent SIDS Law. I put prevent in parentheses because we know that we can reduce the risk for SIDS, but we have not been able to prevent it. And a SIDS parent did call me to say, don't you know you can't prevent SIDS? So we had to be sensitive to that. The law requires back sleep positioning, and I just want to call to your attention the handout. Just summarizing on the front is a brief summary of the law, and then, but it does allow a waiver, which was also one of the concerns of the General Assembly members, wanting the parents to have a say in whether or not the baby should sleep on their back in child care. It also requires a safe sleep policy and communication with the parents about a SIDS policy. And it required SIDS training, but the type of training was not specified. Moving at a more micro level of the policy now within the child care, that was statewide. This is looking at the licensed child care organizations. May 1st, 2004, licensing rules were put into place. The back sleep position was required for all healthy infants. But an alternative sleep position waiver was could be used if the child's physician recommended it for infants under 6 months of age. And then the parent request for an alternative sleep position, that is a position other than the back, could be used for infants over the age of 6 months. We had a written safe sleep policy communicated to parents. This was a requirement prior to the infant being enrolled, and it had to be signed by the parents as well as the child care provider. Because the IDSIDS training was already in place, the Rules Committee determined that the IDSIDS training should be the required training. It is required within 4 months of employment for anyone caring for infants in child care settings, and they have to be recertified with the IDSIDS training every 3 years. We were able to strengthen the tobacco use restrictions in family child care homes because that's tricky. It's a business, but it's a home. But in this case, it was perceived as a business, and so we were able to strengthen those and also the restrictions in all vehicles while children were being transported. So that is probably a significant accomplishment in a tobacco-producing state. Let me tell you a little bit about the IDSIDS project itself. It stands for Infant Toddler Safe Sleep and SIDS Risk Reduction in Child Care. The logo shows a sun and a moon because we wanted to emphasize back sleeping and safe sleeping during nap times, which would apply to child care in particular, but also at night for those nighttime caregivers. We collected baseline data in 2002 and 2003 about infant sleep practices in child care homes and centers. So it was survey and observational data. And initially when we started, the SIDS risk reduction safe sleep standards were voluntary. We started the trainings actually the day after the first report came out in the paper. The reporter was well aware of what we were doing, so and the timing was good, actually. The goals of our training were to establish a cadre of certified IDSIDS trainers, to introduce a safe sleep standard of care where none existed before, and to provide standardized training to lower the SIDS risk in licensed care in North Carolina. We wanted to provide contact hours to the child care providers. It was an incentive for them to attend the training because it was voluntary. And we wanted to produce educational materials tailored to child care and child care settings. And so this is an example of that material. We used a train-the-trainer model, and these are some what I consider critical qualities for success and sustainability for reducing SIDS and promoting infant sleep safety in child care settings. So we did use a train-the-trainer model. We incorporated principles of public health, epidemiology, and social marketing. We were well-versed in which counties to target with the highest SIDS deaths, not specifically in child care, but just in general because of the communities, and also with social marketing, showing the benefits of these health-promoting behaviors. We developed curriculum and training and developed and distributed supporting educational materials, and this would be an example of that. We made this available in English and Spanish, and we provided a lot of support to the trainers themselves. The training was certified by the North Carolina Nurses Association for 4.8 hours of credit. That would be the actual instruction, although the training itself was took about 6 hours with small group activities and instructions and so on. And we provided technical assistance, one-on-one phone call access, email, and we also had an online newsletter where we provided updates as well as questions and answers. When questions were asked of me, I had a batch of questions, and they would go right into the newsletter. And I tried to keep them up to date on the research literature. We tapped into existing child care networks for trainers and advisors. And here we were coming from a public health background, and we were tapping into a new arena, and that would be the child care arena. And so we convened an advisory group, and they were essential and key in helping us to connect to the child care community. And there were a wealth of resources, and every time I thought I learned of, the last group, then another group would pop up. So the advisory group met quarterly, and they were excellent. We tracked trainers, we assessed quotas, and we evaluated our trainings. We asked the trainers to train at least 50 to 75 people, and we had to get their evaluations and their rosters. And that fit well with the Division of Child Development system. They had a standardized training and they had a standardized roster. And we assessed the project impact through a pre-test, post-test observation and survey. We incorporated our findings into further training and intervention, and we ended up with an additional year of funding in phase four, where we provided in-depth technical assistance during 2005-2006. And just briefly, that really was helping to match practice with policy. So the policies were in place, but people were not necessarily aware of what they would take our sample policies, post them on the wall, and say we had a policy, but they weren't fully aware, some of the child care providers, of what they were actually supposed to be doing with that policy. So we went and provided more in-depth technical assistance. And we created tools like a safe sleep or a sleep log or a checklist, because now the providers were required to observe the baby sleeping and to indicate what sleep position the baby was in at certain time intervals. We recommended about every 20 minutes. And we solicited trainer SIDS experiences, how many trainers, and even how many child care providers knew of someone who lost a baby to SIDS. And then I would ask people to share with us that. So it really put a face on SIDS. It really brought it home. So we the teaching modality was lecture with visual aids. We used SIDS data, and child care providers as well as the trainers were extremely interested in the data and how North Carolina compared to other states, or even how we compared nationally or internationally. So I was surprised that the child care providers were very interested in the data as well. And we explained the triple risk model and helped them put SIDS in context. We used small group activities, especially SIDS scenarios. So stories from the paper, other stories that we would share. We provided questions and answers and the sharing of people's experiences. So what difference did this make? The project was expanded from 2 to 4 years. We trained 256 certified SIDS trainers, 1,713 trainees who were scheduled or completed, and we trained over 30,858 child care providers. So we exceeded our goal of 14,500 by 112%. And obviously, if you're required to do something, you're more likely to do it. And that's where the policy really and the legislation really made a difference. We had some matched pre-test, post-test, and this is the data I want to present to you now. Providers did adopt strategies or steps to lower SIDS risk in child care after the training and after the policy changes. More infants were observed sleeping on their back and fewer on their stomachs. And there was an increase, however, while we saw the great increase in back sleep positioning, there was also an increase in side sleep positioning. So that tells us that we needed to re-emphasize back. But the good thing is we saw a decrease in the stomach sleep positioning. And the percentage of child care facilities with a safe sleep policy increased almost fivefold, which is good. It was not required before. And then policy, rather than the child care providers or the parents' choice, became the primary determinant of how an infant would sleep in child care homes and centers. So there was a significant increase in the fact that policies, written policies, even existed. So the SIDS training and the changing landscape in North Carolina had positive results. Child care is safer, sleep practices in child care are safer, and we have lowered SIDS risk in child care family homes as well as in centers. Safe sleep policies are being adopted, and the SIDS training has been institutionalized and will continue. It is now a train the trainer, web-based training. But what have child care providers said? They said as a result of the training, they'd put the information that they learned into practice. And some said they would adopt the safe sleep policy in their infant room and educate all my parents and encourage them to do the back sleep at home. Child care providers said they would become a better child care provider, and one stated, always implement safe sleep practices as a caregiver and a parent. Do my best to teach others about its law so that quality care will be provided at all times for the love of the children. And one provider said, pay closer attention. I do smoke in my car on the way to work. I'll bring another shirt even though I don't work with infants. And what we encouraged was, if the child care provider smokes, put a different shirt on, go out, you know, smoke outside away from the children, and then remove that shirt because of the particulate matter. And so this was a great example, I think, of people intending to change behavior now that they were informed. So we have made significant progress. We still have work to do. Again, I think we have made taken significant steps to lower SIDS risk in child care. And I will end with the final slide, which shows us more recently. Our intervention began in 2003, and you can see up until 2007 that our SIDS deaths in child care have in fact dropped by about two-thirds. And so this policy change, as well as quality training and support for child care providers in the training, has made a difference in the health and safety of infants in North Carolina. Thank you.